The topic for today is I want to continue what we've been doing until now. We started off last week talking about riding the subway on Shabbos, and we began, with a very city-like discussion, a malacha of going on the subway, something that, potentially would very much help people, travel on Shabbos, get around. And I want to continue with that similar discussion, same vein of traveling and aiding travel on Shabbos, by discussing today's topic, which is bicycles. And I know that not everyone rides a bicycle, or certainly doesn't ride a bicycle as part of a commute. I happen to be one of the people who does commute a lot on bikes, but I know many people do not. Nonetheless, even if you yourself are not a bike rider, I think that some of the tools that we'll be using in discussing the bikes and the problems with bikes on Shabbos are going to be very important in terms of as we move forward and really get a good grasp of some of the concepts that posts can use to analyze all of these newfound modern technologies. And bikes is one of those places where it's very clear the language that is used within the Achronim, within the postgame, the language they use, what the problems are, and it's going to be a useful metric moving forward when we explore future topics and discuss things which aren't, don't have technical, standard language for why they're prohibited, and yet the rabbis still find reasons to do so. And so bikes would be a good example of that, and it should hopefully be a clear topic, both in its own right as well as for future topics and exploring our toolbox of things that posts can use to explain modern phenomena. So I'm going to share my screen about. Here's a source sheet. Okay, great. So everyone should have access to it. I also sent it in the chat. If you'd like to see your own copy, feel free to do so, especially if you want to read English. Again, you're more than welcome to look at that. The first time that bikes, I assume everyone knows what a bicycle is. I'm not going to show a diagram or a picture of it. I assume everyone knows what a bike looks like. The first time that a tshuva really is written for bicycles, and I'm not sure if this is the first one, but certainly the most famous one, was written by the Ben Ish Chai. Ben Ish Chai writing circa around the beginning of the 1900s, hard to exactly date when this tshuva was written. But Ben Ish Chai is asked the following question. He's asked from Bombay. He himself is living in Baghdad. He was one of the major poskim of effectively the Middle East at the time, living, in the mid 1800s, towards the beginning of the 20th century. And he would get a lot of questions, especially from the Far East. Any Jews living in the Far East, in China, in India, a lot of those people are asking questions of the Ben Ish Chai. So Ben Ish Chai gets asked the following question. He's asked a question from Bombay, modern day Mumbai. He's asked the following question, and you can imagine, nowadays Mumbai still has a lot of bikes, and you can imagine, 100 years ago, it was a place where bikes were very common. And so he asked the following, Sheila, Nish'alti me'et hayakar maskil, Simon Mayor, Salah, Beir Bombay, I asked the following question from the city of Bombay, Nimtza karon shekorin Jerry. There was this type of wagon called the Jerry. I don't know if that's the accurate translation for the word in Indian. I actually don't know exactly where it comes from. Shekavua bo shnei galgalim, that has two wheels. Ve'ena moshchim oto behemot v'lo b'nei adam, and it's not pushed by animals or by people. Ela hu me'alech me'alav, al yedei adam ha'yoshev bo, shedochet ha'galgalim b'raglav. Rather, the way that bike moves is it moves on its own through the person who is sitting on the bike, and who's pushing the wheels forward with his feet. Are you permitted to ride this Jerry, modern bicycle, on Shabbos or not? So Ben Ish Chai is raised this question, and Ben Ish Chai, almost without reservation, without any limitations, is permits riding bicycles. He thinks there's no problem. He says, this Jerry that was discussed, it seems to me that it is permitted to ride on Shabbos. He thinks it's permitted any place where there's an Eruv, in which you no longer have a prohibition of carrying, there's not going to be any issues of riding a bike. He thinks there's no problem of Ovdin Chol. No issues of this looking like a workday activity. Since there's no problem of carrying here because there's an Eruv, and therefore you can rely on those who permit riding on the Jerry within a city with an eruv, there is no issue. As well, he adds that later on paragraph, he adds that od im nixor gzerot chanashon b'da'atenu, we shouldn't, you know, create these new edicts on our own. V'dayshiyam du anshei adorot ha'ila lehizaher b'gzerotam forashim ladiyav divrei chachamim. It's sufficient for those, you know, why don't we just focus on those things which are already prohibited, those things which everyone does wrong and they're already prohibited. Focus on those. Don't create new gzerot, new things that are prohibited. Regardless of why you're riding a bike, even if it's for pleasure purposes, you just want to be a joyrider around the city, it's still going to be permitted as long as there's an Eruv. And in fact, Ben Ishchai even goes further in his tshuva and actually makes a very compelling argument that perhaps even in a city with no Eruv, you'd be permitted to ride a bike. He thinks that's not actually a problem of carrying in any capacity. He has a very long discussion about, you know, are you carrying the bike carrying you? You know, who's really doing the carrying? Very long discussion. Carrying and hotzar are really not our discussion for our present. We're not going to go into the details of that. Instead, we're going to focus on this question from the perspective of a city that does indeed have an eruv. Are we concerned about riding a bike or not? Is there a potential issue? Ben Ishchai, Chad v'Chalak, very clearly says, no issue, it is completely permitted. Yes, Alan. I can't see everyone's question, so if you want to ask a question, feel free to just speak up, or, yeah. Well, the concern about the concern's not knocking down because you're riding high. You know, the concern's not like you're very high up, you're going to knock something off the tree. The concern is that you might approach a tree and take out, you know, rip out a branch in order to use it as a means of steering your animal, that you might use it, you know, to steer and to hit the animal. That's the concern. So he actually does address that. He actually does address it and make it earlier. I cut out, the tshuva was actually rather long. I cut out large sections of it. He does mention it, but certainly, you know, there's no reason that you would use a stick, you know, to steer a bicycle. So it's certainly not relevant in this context. Yeah. Any other questions so far? No. All right. According to the Rav Pol, to the Rav Polim, to Ben Ishchai's argument, is this question of Uvden Dechol. And that really becomes the center of most of the discussion, Uvden Dechol, which I'm going to define later on more exact details what exactly that means. But for our purposes, a working definition, Uvden Dechol is this issue of doing work that looks like weekday work. Doing something that looks, you know, like you do it on your way to work. You do it on, you know, you do it during the regular workday as you're doing malacha. So, where does this come up? And explain a little bit further. So the Aruch HaShulchan quotes this, and this is really from the Gemara, just the Aruch HaShulchan was the clearest explanation of this principle, is that the Gemara says as follows in Beitza, and I quote the Aruch HaShulchan, source 2, Ein yotzin b'kisei echad ha'ish v'echad ha'isha, v'haynu sh'yoshev b'kisei, v'anashim nos'im oto b'kisei, v'shum uvda d'chol. There is prohibition, this is specifically in Hilchot Yontiv, but it applies presumably as well on Shabbos. There is a prohibition for a person to walk out in a chair, both a man or a woman, regardless of who's sitting on the chair, and people would carry the chair here. And doing that would be a problem of Uvda Dechol. What is this case? So this case is actually a very fairly popular means of transportation at the time. What's called a sedan chair. I actually brought a picture of it here. We may think of this often in terms of royalty. You know, royalty would sit on terms of these chairs. So I always assumed that this was like a royal way. A royal, you know, would have these two pallbearers carrying them throughout the street. That's the way they get across. But the truth is that actually, I just did some research because I was curious, that actually in the 1600s, this was actually a very common mode of transportation, even for common folk. London, I'm reading some quote from Wikipedia. London had chairs available for hire in 1634, each assigned a number and the chairman licensed because the operation was a monopoly, da da da. The sedan chairs could pass in streets too narrow for a carriage, helping to alleviate the crush of coaches in London streets, an early instance of traffic congestion. It'd be a way to avoid dirt and mud. It'd be really a mode of transportation. And it was fairly common, you know, depending on the century, depending exactly, you know, time period, who was using it might have differed. But this was certainly a mode of transportation. In effect, you'd be sitting on a chair, and you'd be transported by two or more people who'd be carrying you on the chair. I'm sure we all kind of get the concept of the chair. And so the Gemara in Beitza says that to go on this type of chair and be carried, even if it's carried by non-Jews, regardless of who's carrying you, there is going to be a prohibition of ovda d'chol, of workday activity. And so that's the context that the Ben Ish Chai wants to deal with when he wants to compare bicycles. Is there some comparable prohibition of ovda d'chol, of workday activity, when you are on a bicycle like this chair? And so, as part of his analysis, he makes the following point. He quotes, this is source three here, he quotes from the Nota Bihuda, where the Nota Bihuda, analyzing this discussion of the chair, the sedan chair, says as follows: the Nota Bihuda would permit you to carry the, in this type of chair, but in a city that has an eruv, a feeling mishi ain rabim kumlo, the sphere the low it martin zeb yamtov le sor, the inram sikhlo, ala davka beir de laka eruv. The prohibition of the carrying in the chair was only made for a city that had no eruv. And then the prohibition was really one based on the real problem of potential hotsa, potential prohibition of carrying. And therefore, if there's a prohibition of carrying, there's also going to be potentially this prohibition of ovden d'chol, of looking like you're doing workday activities, doing some type of ovden d'chol. However, this is the main rule, the main line. In a city that has no, that has an eruv, and therefore there's no potential iser of hotsa of carrying, there's no prohibition of ovden d'chol. This problem of being carried in the chair, of it looking like ovden d'chol, looking like workday activity, is only applicable if there is no eruv. If there is an eruv, there is no prohibition. And therefore, in our case as well, on the bike, there is no possible issue of ovden d'chol. And the Ben Ish Chai actually continues, and he furthers this argument of no of there being really no problem of ovden d'chol. Second paragraph. V'amina milta chadata benidon didan. I want to further this point of it not being a not being an issue. There's no of the whole issue. Kuli al mayodu lahatir be'ish yesh ba'eruv. Kevan de'ayoshev hu rak dochev raklav. Since in this case, all you're doing is just pushing with your feet. You're not actually even, being held up by anyone. Shani tuva medina kise. It's very different from the case of the chair. The nos inotobne adam lahadiyah, because people in the chair case are actually carrying you. You know, it looks in a lot of ways like being carried on Yantiv or Shabbos. However, here, though, you are pushing yourself. You're sitting on top of the bike, but it's being pushed on its own. Therefore, it's clearly permissible. It does not at all look like Ovden D'chol. That is his primary argument. He even continues in the next paragraph. Another reason to look like ovden d'chol, since bicycles are made for only one person, therefore, it doesn't appear that you're going very far. It doesn't look like you're doing malacha, like you're doing any work. And so the Ben Ish Chai, we're going to come back to this and explain these a little bit clearer. You know, give a second pass to it. But the main point of the Ben Ish Chai, the main takeaway, is that there's no problem of ovden d'chol. There's no problem of it looking like workday activity if you are on a bicycle. And the Ben Ish Chai, or Polim, is not the only person to believe that. Indeed, if you want to take a look at the next source four, the Marshag, another posek who lived around the same time period, the second half of the 1800s, beginning of the 1900s, the Marshag was, Ben Ish Chai was writing from Baghdad. Marshag lived in Munkacs in Hungary, same time period, and he's a major postdoc of the time period. He writes as well, Ra'iti, he's writing in this tshuva, this long tshuva about something else. He makes his side point in the middle of it. Ra'iti b'shut, he sees in some tshuva, linyan limso aide agalosh nikraim baitziklach. I see this tshuva, this discussion about riding in wagons that are called bicycles, what we call, you know, a modern bike. It is a newfound phenomena. A person sits on it and it moves on its own, or he rolls the wheel with his feet. And it goes very fast. You're able to move speedily through these bikes. And he says, What is the main critique, the main problem that Pushkin and his generation bring up as the issue, an issue of why you can't ride a bike? Because of Ogden the Hole, that it looks like weekday activity. Riding a bike is, not Shabbistic. It's not what a good frum person does on Shabbos. It's not the way you should act on Shabbos. Therefore, it's from Ogden the Hole, and they think it's problematic. And Marshak says, no, what are you talking about? The Imishum Ha. Ain ha Easter baruli ki I de asvara lo yadatim ovda the chol. I don't know what you're talking about. Why is there a problem with ovda nechol riding a bike? Doesn't at all look like there's a problem with ovda nechol. Vegam ein lamnu lchadesh because they wrote the isurim midatenu. We shouldn't, make up new prohibitions, new gzeirot based on our own, knowledge of the issue. Aval pashut etzli the gam bebisaklag yesh mishum isur asa. He says there would be an issue of carrying potentially, and that's what we discussed. We're talking about a case where there's no, an eruv in the city, in which case carrying wouldn't be a problem. But other than that potential issue of carrying, assuming you live in an eruv, there is no issue of the nechol. Marshag, like the Ben Ishchai, disagrees with those other poskim. There is no problem of ben, of the nechol. Any questions so far? All right, great. Why do I keep bringing up this problem of the nechol? Because indeed, if you take a look at other poskim, and he quoted two poskim there, and I'll quote source five, Rav Ovadia Yosef, when he discusses this issue, a little bit later, almost 50 years later, he, as his main argument for why there'd be a problem for bicycles, thinks there would be a problem of Ovden Nechol. Source number five, Nir Lani Odai Ti, Nir Lani Odai Ti, Leachmir Birkivat Ofonayim B'Shabbat, Al pi ma she'amru b'Shabbat im tashiv mishabbat raglacha me'asot rakacha shelo yiluch akach yishalavak yiluch akach shechol. He thinks the primary reason that riding a bike should be problematic on Shabbos is based on this drasha that the rabbis made the following reading, the following rule that they inferred from this verse in Yeshayahu, that the way you should walk on Shabbos should be similar to the way it should not be should be different from the way you walk during the week. And therefore, on Shabbos, absolutely stop siyagasav Shabbat. You can't walk quickly. You should walk, humbly. You shouldn't have big steps. The problem on riding bikes is that you go very quickly, and that is against the spirit of Shabbos. Having mamash ovden dechol is a problem of ovden dechol. V'chein ra'iti, he keeps going. I saw similarly in the Shilat Yaakov, she'asar kiva la'ofanayim shu ovden nechol. Likewise, he quotes someone else's problem ovden nechol, and he keeps going. V'odayim shu k'nem David, v'shav shu k'nem Levin, v'kach katuv agrim tol yinado, v'shu yamagado, v'chvar hir v'shu tifel yezer, v'latam arshag. All of these poets can be quotes, all of which say that there is a problem of ovden nechol, and Kedarko v'kodesh, this is the way that the Ravadia often, marshals as evidence. He had a, really encyclopedic mind. He would indeed quote tons and tons of people who agreed with his position. There is a problem of Ovden the whole for Rav Ovadia. I'll get back to you. I'll talk about that. That Rav Ovadia thinks there is a problem of Ovden the whole. As I mentioned, Marshag and Ben Ish Chai do not. So what are they arguing about, right? What is this discussion of Ovden the whole? What is Ovden the whole even? So I kind of said I didn't want to translate to specifically. The way we often think about Ovden Nechol, maybe on the most basic level, is we often talk about Ovden Nechol as something which is, not Shabbistic. It's something which goes against the spirit of Shabbos. It's just not what you do on Shabbos. A good firm Jew just doesn't do that. A good firm Jew doesn't, play competitive sports on Shabbos. So a good firm Jew also doesn't, ride a bike on Shabbos. It's some type of general argument of what a good firm Jew doesn't do. It just doesn't feel like it's the spirit of Shabbos. It doesn't work well with our guts. But I'm kind of trying to get you to get the sense that, what that definition is, like what is not Shabbistic is there's no real definition to it. It feels almost arbitrary. What does it mean, not Shabbistic? That's not an actual definition. So what does it mean over the whole? What are we talking about? And to really understand this concept of the nechol, and this is kind of the reason I chose the bicycle concept, is I really want to dive in here briefly into of the nechol, really discover what of the nechol is about, in order for us to really get a handle on both this discussion and the bike question at hand, but really for us to, in all future discussions, really get a sense of kind of the main issues that the Poskim are dealing with. What is the issue of Uvdin Chol? What is this concept of not Shabbistic? Right? How are we supposed to deal with that, and when do we apply it? So what is Uvdin Chol? So the Gemara quotes Uvdin Chol in a few different places. I quoted one place because I think it's pretty exemplary. The Gemara in source 6 says as follows. The Gemara in Shabbos, Kuf Mem Gimel, 143. Tana, lo yispog b'yayin, v'lo yitapech b'shemench, lo yaseh k'derach shu oseh b'chol. The Gemara gives here two examples of what problem of Uvdin Nechol would be. First case, case one, you have your barrel of wine or barrel of oil that breaks apart. The Mishnah example, it peels apart. And so what do you do? And so the Tosefta teaches as follows. The Mishnah continues and says that as part of the cleanup of this big barrel of wine, what you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to soak up wine or even oil with your hands. You can't use your hands, even though there's no problem with shechita. There will be no potential ifter malacha involved with using your hands. But why can't you do it? Shelo yaseh kederach shu'oseh b'chol. There is a prohibition of doing so you'll not conduct yourself on Shabbos like you conduct yourself during the week. Right, so this problem of Uvdin Chol, you cannot pick up, you know, oil or wine that fell out of a barrel with your hands. That's problem one. Case two, Tan Rabbanan, Nispazru lu peirot b'chatzer, milakit al yad ve'ochel, aval lo toch asav lo toch hakupa, shelo yaseh k'derech shelo seh b'chol. Case two, if you have a basket or you have a, you know, a lot of fruit in the basket, and the basket breaks apart or you drop the basket, and the fruit scatters around the chatzer, around the courtyard, what you're not allowed to do is you're not allowed to gather them back all up and put them into the basket. You're allowed to gather them up in one by one and eat them, but you cannot gather them and put them back into the basket. Why can't you do though? Why can't you do that? Why can't you gather up, you know, the fallen fruit and bring them together into the basket? Because it looks like workday week. It looks like something you do during the work, during the regular week. That is the problem. This is helpful to you in terms of defining what Uvdin Chol is. That's great, because for many people, it's not really clear. It seems like the Gemara gave you a few examples of things which are, you know, look like Uvdin Chol, but it's not really clear what defines Uvdin Chol. Just like, you know, gathering things, is that among Uvdin Chol? What exactly is the problem here involved in these malacha? What are you doing in gathering, you know, the oil or the fruit here? What's so problematic about it? And so, really, at the end of the day, the Gemara gives a few other examples, other places, scattered throughout, but there's never actually any rules given what Uvdin Chol is. It's actually really unclear from the Gemara what is Uvdin Chol, what is not. And so, what actually emerges is that there's some the Rishonim and the Chronim actually debate what these rules are since there's no actual primary evidence. And so, what are the potential possibilities? What could Uvdin Chol be? So, one of the most significant possibilities is quoted in the Rambam in Source 7. The Rambam says, what is Uvdin Chol? Davar baruru lemevin she'en ata motse leolam dvarim she'asu chachamim mishum shelo yaseh k'derech shelo seh b'chol, elo dvarim she'efshar she'yagilu lemelacha. What is the prohibition of Uvdin Chol? What types of things are prohibited? It's specifically things which perhaps may bring you or accustom you towards doing melacha, towards doing work. And this is further elaborated in the Shavuot Yitzchak. This is late Achron I just discovered, who just makes a few rules that it's all really about doing things which resemble or may bring you to doing one of the 39 melachot. As we know, there are 39 things that the rabbis classified as, you know, avot, as master categories of prohibited work, things like writing, like threshing, like sewing, tying knots, you know, building things, bona. All these various malachot, 39 different categories of things which are prohibited. And the Rambam is saying that Uvdin Chol is this rabbinic category that effectively regulates that any activity which might perhaps bring you towards doing one of the 39 malachot is going to be prohibited as well. In fact, it's a type of siyak, a type of rabbinic offense to prevent you from doing a Torah prohibition of the 39 malachot. So, for instance, the Shavuot Yitzchak in verse 8, he gives a few examples of delineating what type of things that we're talking about. So he says, Mevur together Uvdin Nechol, one, case possibility one, Davar Hamar Gil Macha, something which may accustom you to prohibited activity, or two, Ayde taskud bekli shibosim lacha, kitzliat shemeret, something which may bring you or is typically used for ritual activity. Or three, ayde taskud bedavar shibo nasitam lacha beofen adomelam lacha, something which is done in a way which is similar to the way that forbidden lacha is done. So, for instance, the case of gathering up the fruit that fell on the ground, the reason it's prohibited is, as he explains later on, is that it resembles the prohibited malacha of me'amer. It looks like gathering. There's a prohibition of gathering. The prohibition of gathering is rather specific to produce and has certain rules to it. It's not very applicable for most things. But in this particular case, what you're doing looks sufficiently like that malacha that the rabbis prohibited it. Or another example that comes up a lot nowadays, is there potentially a problem to use a cheese grater on Shabbos? Can I use my cheese grater? Is there a potential malacha? And so there are some posts we read that Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, Arbach has a tshuva about it, all of which is concerned that maybe the cheese grater, even though it may not be an actual prohibited malacha, perhaps it looks like a prohibited malacha, it looks like you're grinding, it looks like you're doing tochein of some sort, and therefore the actual grinder, the grater, could be prohibited for that reason. There's some discussion about it. It's all about, at the end of the day, ovden the whole, what is not Shabbistic? Shabbistic activities are things which look like they may bring you or look like they appear to have the appearance of doing a forbidden malacha. That is the main definition, the Rambam and Shmuel Yitzchak quote for ovden the whole. Yeah, Mike.
Yeah, there are a few different Gemaras that deal with this. Certainly, like, marshal more evidence, but exactly those type of things, like, you know, utensils that may bring you or is often used for malacha, those are all examples. So a comb, things which, you know, could in theory be used or often is used for malacha, is going to be part of the same problematic issue of ovden nechol, of not being Shabbistic to use that particular utensil or this particular activity. That would fit well. Great. There is, however, another definition, a second definition, which the Tiferet Yisrael, Rishon lived in the late 1800s, in the 1700s of Yisrael Lipschitz. He writes the following in terms of his definition, when he defines Ovden Nechol, source number 9. He adds the same explanations earlier, Yesh bo gimel fanim, astru davar mishum domel acham milamatem lacha, o mishum shema yidei kach yavolatam lacha. First reasons have to do with malacha, it'll bring you to malacha, or it looks like malacha. Then he adds another reason, a third reason. And this is, I bolded it in the Hebrew. O mishum tircha yitera. Another reason that there could be a problem for ovden nechol, something which is not Shabbistic, is because of tircha yitera, because you is strenuous activity. Right? And so the way that Tiferet Yisrael reads it is that why is it that, for instance, the gathering, the fruit case, or in the case of, you know, picking up the oil with your hands, why is that problematic? Because it's strenuous. That strenuous activity, that itself is ovden nechol. That is a problem of not being Shabbistic, right? So if I exercise on Shabbos, I play competitive sports, it is going to be a problem of ovden nechol because it's strenuous, because it's, you know, I'm not relaxing. I'm not just chilling at home, but I'm sweating. I'm exercising actively. I'm, you know, moving in a quick manner. And all of these strenuous activity is against the spirit of Shabbos. That's the definition of Tiferet Yisrael. And in effect, then, we have two general different perspectives on ovden nechol. One perspective thinks that ovden nechol is primarily a prohibition that relates to doing forbidden activities, things which may lead you doing one certain halachot, either because it looks like it or because you're using similar materials, something which may bring you to one of the 39 halachot. The second definition, though, relates to something entirely different. It's not about may lead you to do malacha. It's about this other problem of Shabbos needs to be a day of rest, a day of menucha, and you are violating it by doing a strenuous activity. Indeed, we actually saw that Tiferet Yisrael's general claim is the concept of having, you know, a Shabbos of peace and restful. We saw that a lot last week when we talked about the Ramban and Shabbaton. The value of not moving around and having a restful Shabbos. We talked about it for subways. And indeed, it comes up here as well. And to really, I think, get the sense to kind of, you know, better explain this idea, it's worth taking a step back and pointing out that whenever we talk about Shabbos in terms of the rabbinic prohibitions, not the 39 melachot, but the kind of the rabbinic prohibitions relating to the spirit of Shabbos, there really are, in effect, these two different strains of what the rabbinic prohibitions relate to. One strain focuses often on that these siyagim, these rabbinic prohibitions, are forms of ways of distancing you from doing these 39 melachot. It's a fence, it's a siyag, a way of preventing you from doing forbidden work. That is the purpose of rabbinic prohibition. That is a very common strain. The other common strain is that the problem for certain rabbinic prohibitions on Shabbos relates to this issue of tircha, of overexertion, of not resting on Shabbos. Right? This value, this debate in effect between this value of whether the definition of uvdin nechol is based on may lead you to malacha or it may lead you to exert yourself and not have a relaxing Shabbos, is actually very much definitional to many of the rabbinic prohibitions on Shabbos. And I'll give you just another example of where this comes up. It comes up when it comes to the prohibition of muktzah. All right, so we often think, why is it that something is muktzah? So I'll give you just for background, right, what is muktzah? Muktzah is an item which has no use to you on Shabbos, like a pen, or the classic example is a rock or stone, which has no use to you on Shabbos. You have nothing to do with it, and it is muktzah. It is therefore prohibited for you to touch it, to move it. You're not allowed to move muktzah things. Why is it that there's this prohibition, this rabbinic prohibition of muktzah? So the Rambam in Source 10 gives two different reasons for muktzah. And they come back to this theme I presented earlier about rest and not overexerting yourself versus a prohibition of maybe it'll lead you to do work. So take a look at Source 10. The Rambam explaining why there's a prohibition for muktzah. He says, Asur chachamin letatel nixat tzvarim b'shabbat, keder shirose b'chol, is prohibited to carry certain things on Shabbos like you do during the week. Why they make this prohibition of muktzah? Amru, uma im hishru nevim v'sibu shlo yehe hiluchachach b'shabbat hiluchach b'chol, v'lo sichat ha-shabbat sichach b'chol, shnemar v'dabar davar. Just as the nevim, the prophet, prohibited a certain manner of walk and a certain manner of discussion of talking on Shabbos, likewise, the things you carry on Shabbos should not be like the things you carry on Chol. Because what's going to happen if you're allowed to just carry everything you want? Then there's a fear that maybe you're going to end up carrying things, you know, from one corner of your house to another corner of the house. Or that's ni'avanim v'kayotze ben, or you're just going to start like hiding rocks. Sharehu batel v'yoshev v'beito v'vakesh navar yishitai esek bo, because what you're doing at home on Shabbos, you can't really, you know, you can't use electronics, you can't do your regular activities, so you're just sitting at home doing nothing, and you're going to look for busy work. V'nivsash shelo shavat, and if you do that busy work, then we'll find that you did not rest, you did not have a peaceful, restful Shabbos. U'batel atam shenemar b'torah, and doing so, you're going to obviate the Torah's requirement of leman yanuach, that Shabbos should be a restful day. And so reason for number one for why muktzah is prohibited is because if you're allowed to carry these non-purposeful objects, these non-useful objects on Shabbos, it would be a problem of, it would go against the grain of the value of restful, having a restful Shabbos. That's reason one that I'm writing for muktzah. Second reason he gives, ve'od, kishiva keri tatel kilim shemachtam le'isur, that there's a secondary concern that if you carry muksa object, it may lead you to do a malacha to transgress one of these 39 malachot. And so here too, by muksa, you see in effect the same debate in effect. Is the prohibition, the rabbinic prohibition included here or created in order to prevent us from having this non-restful Shabbos that would overexert ourselves? Or is the prohibition one of a fear that if we do not prohibit, you may end up doing one of the 39 biblically prohibited malachot, right? Is it about the biblical prohibitions, a fear of getting to the 39 biblical malachot, or is it a fear that by doing that activity, you will not have a restful Shabbos? This, as I said, is really something that spans all of Malachot Shabbos. A lot of the rabbinic prohibitions relate to the same dichotomy here. And as well, Ovdin Nechol, as I pointed out earlier, deals with the same issue. So that's kind of the big background of Ovdin Nechol. Ovdin Nechol could, in theory, be two different issues, one of which relates to doing prohibited work, and the second one relates to not having a restful Shabbos. Any questions or comments? Well, the point of the scooping your oil with your hands, the problem is it looks like it's a similar type of activity as scooping oil with a rag. And the fear of scooping oil or wine with a rag is you may end up squeezing it and be over the isra of schita, of milabin, of cleaning. And so the activity itself, even though using your hands, you're not actually using, you know, a rag, the argument that it resembles that same act. That would be the prohibition of opening the hole in that context. Yeah, Alan. Yeah, I think that's more sociological. We just tend to like have electronics that we think of as and that's because muksa often we think of the things which are prohibited, isur and stuff. But you know, I can't pick up rocks either on Shabbos, and I'm not going to do any malacha with the rocks. It's because muksa really at its base has to do also with, you know, the tircha. The if I could be involved with it, I would be able to, you know, do all sorts, have a very busy Shabbos of moving stuff around. That's kind of the basic idea. You don't have, you know, like it or not. We can already discuss it. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question, as in how much work is, you know, too much. Even we saw the Ramban last week talks about like opening your business or traveling from one side of the city to the other. There's only what to ask in terms of like what is relaxing or not relaxing. And indeed, I think when we cover elevators at some future week, I'll actually mention as a point of fact that, you know, the alternative to taking an elevator is to walk up a bunch of stairs. And, you know, walking up, you know, 15 flights of stairs, is that really so relaxing? Like, what happened to the idea of a relaxing Shabbos? So I think you're right that where you draw the line there, it's really interesting. Muksa itself is a separate topic. I don't want to get into muksa. It's like, oh, it's really its own complicated topic that deserves its own analysis, its own discussion. But I agree with you that where you draw the line is certainly an interesting question. So let's get back now, unless anybody has any other questions. No, I don't see any others. Okay. If you do, feel free to blurt out or write in the chat. Let's get back now to the debate. Right, we began this discussion by pointing out there was a debate between the Ben Ish Chai, the Marashag, and Ravadia Yosef and a few other postgame about whether there is an issue of Ovden the Hall when it comes to riding a bike. So what are they arguing about, right? What is this debate about? So I think let's analyze, you know, parse it through the two potential issues of Ovden the Hall. Ovden the Hall, the first definition, the one we quoted based on the Rambam, was that Ovden the Hall relates to doing malacha, that you may come to do actual work on Shabbos, and that itself would be prohibited, right? That's the first definition of Ovden the Hall. And so if that's the definition of Ovden the Hall, so then the question becomes, you know, what prohibited malacha would be involved with riding a bike, right? I don't use a bike to, you know, a bike's not used as a utensil to, you know, write anything down or to smash objects with or to build something with. You don't use a bike in that way. You just travel with it. And so what would be the problem of a bike? And so one potential argument could be, oh, what about hotzah? What about carrying, you know, in Rishus HaYachid or Rishus HaRabim, there might be a problem with carrying. And so that's exactly what the Ben Ish Chai says when he says that, no, it's nothing like carrying. It's not at all like the chair we saw here, the sedan chair, where people were actually carried, because the bike has nothing, there's nobody being carried in the bike. If anything, the bike's kind of carrying you. And he says that, you're pushing with your legs. It doesn't look at all like a, like you're being carried. There's no problem of in the hole. There's no, it doesn't look at all like prohibited activity. And that's kind of the real sense that you get from the Ben Ish Chai, that, you know, why doesn't, there's no actual prohibited malacha, so why should it be prohibited? So kind of what is then the response then? Why would there be a prohibition? So I think that part of the response, and this is kind of the chiddush of the Ravadia Yosef and some of the other poskim like him, is that they argue that what you do with the bike primarily is you go, it's a means of transportation. And it's primarily a means of transportation for the sake of business. Right? Why do they invent bikes? Why do they invite subways? Why do they invite all these means of quicker transportation? So, of course, you know, it's always good to move quicker and have that, you know, even for leisurely purposes. But primarily, the reason they invented this was as a form of making more efficient businesses in order to be able to commute a bit to work, in order to be able to transport goods for work. That's why they invented subways. That's why they invented bicycles. And so the argument that Irvavadi makes, in effect, is that because you use this object for the sake of getting to work, therefore, it's like it's a work-like activity. So take a look, for instance, in the middle of the Ravadia's Tshuva in source number 5, he says, V'chein ra'iti b'shut she'ot Yaakov, sh'asa rechiva al ofanayim, why is it prohibited? Mishum ovdan d'chol, because of ovdan d'chol, why? Ki yechad shduhu she'oleich l'mischaro, o she'yetzei mitzchut batchum. Because what is the fear? The fear is that people will suspect that if you're riding your bike, you're using your bike to get to work. And that is why you're using the bike. Or for instance, in the previous part, he says also, that the reason you use a bike is to get quicker to work. And so in effect, and I think this is true, I mean, it's definitely true, I mean, post, like, with the pandemic, now that I think bikes have become a lot more popular, not only as leisurely activities, but as means of commuting. But even beforehand, I think that's generally why they were invented. It's certainly true, you know, historically, this is why bikes were particularly popular, and that bikes are often used as a means of transportation for work. And so the debate then, what's really interesting, is that for the Ben Ish Chai, transportation to work isn't actually a malacha, right? There's no actual work involved in going to work. The actual malacha, the actual prohibition would be working on Shabbos, doing actual businesses, Mekar Chomemkar, that would be the prohibition. Transportation in and of itself is not actually a prohibited means of work. And yet Ravadia is making, and this is the postgame with him, are making this really significant claim here, and this is why it's so important for us to emphasize it. They're making this really important claim that going to work, a means of going to work, is itself an extension of work itself. That the means of transportation, how you get to work, is a form of work, and therefore we're going to prohibit you even the means of how to transport to work. And so this this really creates kind of this new trend to think of bikes, to think of subways, to think of all sorts of newfound means of transportation that if they're typically used for work, then they are part of the prohibition of Ovdin D'chol, a definition which the Ben Ishchai did not agree with, since it's not actually a work-like activity, but just getting to work, or Ravadia felt, is itself part of work. Right? How do I get to work? You know, my day, I might clock in only at 9 a.m., but in fact, my day really began at 8:30 when I first got out of the house and started going to work. That's effectively the argument that Ravadia makes. And Ben Ishchai says, no, what are you talking about? Work only starts when you clock in at 9 a.m. That's kind of part one of their argument. But there is a second part, and that relates to the other definition of Ovdin D'chol that we mentioned earlier. Right? The first definition was it relates to a forbidden malacha, and that we said Ravadi has this kind of this chiddush that even going to work is part of work itself. But the other definition of Ovdin D'chol related to tircha, to exertion, to not having a, you know, relaxing Shabbos. And so indeed, if you think that's the definition of Ovdin D'chol, then should bikes be prohibited? Yes, probably yes, they should be. Because if you think about it, when you ride a bike, you know, maybe you feel relaxed. Maybe you enjoy riding a bike. Maybe, you know, it's nice to have the wind in your face and to, you know, feel free in that sense. But you certainly are exerting yourself, you know, especially if it's not an electric bike, you really are working hard. And indeed, if you look at Shu'ut Chaim V'Ratzono, this is a tshuva written by someone who lived in Warsaw and died in the Holocaust. Of Moshe Grinfield, who probably lives in Romania, he discusses the whole topic of Ovdin D'chol, and he says bicycles should definitely be prohibited. Why is it so obvious it should be prohibited? My Ovdin D'chol shet when fiat bicycle, tamaikra, I'm so puzzled. Why? How can you even suggest that there's no problem with Ovdin D'chol? V'chigrami luch p'siyat gassad, astri b'shabbat m'shor Ovdin D'chol, is it no different from, you know, from having large steps, from running on Shabbos? The prohibition of going fast, of walking quickly on Shabbos, is one that relates to going to a business, or because by moving quickly on Shabbos, what you're doing problematic is that you are in fact exercising, you're sweating, you're exercising, and therefore it's known that someone who's on a bicycle is working out. Right, it's a workout. It's hard to move that quickly. You have to actually strain yourself. You have to move quickly. And you have to sweat. You have to move quickly. You have to push the bike forward through your legs. And he makes the claim, there is no bigger Ovdin D'chol. Right? Because if you believe Ovdin D'chol is about not having a relaxing Shabbos, not having a day of Menucha, then, you know, exercising is like probably the worst breach of the D'chol you possibly could find. And effectively, a bike is a form of exercise. It's effective moving really quickly. And so it's obvious to the Rav Moshe Grinfield, the Chaim Ratzono, that there's a problem of Ovdin D'chol. What does the Ben Ishchai respond to this? How do they respond? Well, as we mentioned earlier, it's not clear that Ovdin D'chol actually extends itself to exercising or to tircha, concept of not having a relaxing Shabbos. He might not agree entirely to the concept or might not agree to the extension in this case. It's worth mentioning, we don't have time to explore it, but maybe a future topic we will. But there's also a lot of similar discussion about exercising in general. Like, can I go running on Shabbos if I find that enjoyable? I just like to run. I like to, you know, stay fit. So there's a lot of discussion about, you know, if you enjoy exercising, is it permitted on Shabbos? For the most part, similar to biking, it's prohibited, but there's a lot of discussion about it, and it's not so obvious one way or another, and part of the Ben Ishchai's disagreement may relate to this question of what is defined as Shabbistic in terms of a halachic sense. Is there actually a prohibition of doing something which isn't restful? Is that actually prohibited? And so Micah. Yeah, so the second issue we actually, Alan already asked earlier, exactly right, that if you know, you're not going to whip a bike, it's not going to be relevant. What about fixing? So actually, it's actually a great point, because that's actually my next point, so thank you for bringing it up already. I focused most of today's talk on the issue of Ovdim Dechol, this debate. That's really the issue for historically for most of time about Ovdim Dechol, and I thought it was a very good way of introducing the topic. The truth is, though, that beyond the issue of Ovdim Dechol, even if you agree with the Ben Ish Chai and the Marashah that there's, you know, no real prohibition of it not being Shabbistic, there is perhaps a more significant problem for riding bikes, and that relates to this problem of you may have to fix it if it breaks. Take a look at the Shtitz Eliezer, skip to Shtitz Eliezer quotes it, and as well as quoted in Shoot Yaskil Avdi in source 13. Yaskil Avdi was written by Rav Avdi Hodaya, a rabbi in the Jerusalem in the mid-1900s, and he writes as follows, Bedina bicyclat dem utav dekilkul kasher achusheid, the bicycle which very commonly, very often breaks, the mikalkel gumi shemali aruach, that the tire, which is full of air, pops occasionally, the curve of the badai shevalot kanov shabbat yom tov, and therefore it's very, it's once it breaks, it's very common to want to fix it. It's definitely going to be prohibited because of this problem of potentially it's going to break. The Af Shikvar Katav Di Malei Ruach Me'erev Shabbat Halo Yesh Lachushim Mekelkel Listik. Nonetheless, even if you filled the tire just recently on Erev Shabbos on Friday, nonetheless, it's still, you know, you can get a flat tire and you're going to want to patch up the tire and do a malacha of bone, a makir patish, some type of ister prohibition when you have to fix the tire. And it's not just the tire, it doesn't mention it, but if you have a chain bike, which most bikes now have, chains often do break. And I'll tell you that, you know, you may think to yourself, okay, you know what, like, I'm not an expert. Am I really going to end up fixing my bike? I mean, and there is a similar, the paradigm for breaking bikes is, as Micah mentioned, from instruments, that there's provision to play instruments on Shabbos, Shema Yitake. Maybe if they break, you're going to fix them. And so that's an old gzera that's written already in times of rabbis. Truth is, for most people, if you play an instrument and it breaks, you're probably bringing it to a professional, you're not fixing it yourself. I mean, that's my impression, at least. When it comes to a bike, you'll say like the same thing. You know, I won't fix the bike myself, I'll bring it to a professional. But the truth is, if you have ever ridden with a bike, and the bike has broken on you, you know, midway through your ride, you're going to do whatever you can to fix it, or at least make a temporary patch so you can get to where you have to go. Because having a broken bike is very inconvenient. You know, I've had my bike break, and I'm not an expert mechanic, but like, you'll make whatever, you know, quasi fix in the moment just so you can get even to the mechanic store, because it's really hard to have a bike there and not be able to move it. Right? They're heavy enough, and you want to be able to bring it to the mechanic. So you're going to be doing something, some type of midway fix, in order to fix it. And there are always, you know, that's just me who doesn't really know how to patch a tire, but the Kal Vachomer, those people who do know how to patch a tire, right, there really are a lot of things that you may end up doing in order to fix your bike. It is very common. It doesn't happen all the time, but there's a decent chance your bike will break. And therefore, for that reason, the Sicilianer, Yaskil Avdi, argue that it is prohibited to ride a bike on Shabbos. And the Yaskil Avdi quotes at the very end of source 13, he says, "Umei tema ala mariach." Question on the Ben Ish Chai, "De lo nachi lechashash azu." How is it the Ben Ish Chai was not concerned about this issue of it might break? "Ubevardai hagamor deareza loya bakiv etuva talicha bicyclet azeh." It must be in his mind that the Ben Ish Chai just didn't know about bicycles. He didn't really have a bicycle at hand. He was just answering this tshuva from his far off land, way out in the far east. He didn't actually know. He didn't actually own a bike, and so he wasn't really known. He didn't really know. You know, wasn't expertise in the actual subject matter. That's the argument that Yaskil Avdi makes. I don't know if it's true. Could be the Ben Ish Chai did know about bikes. It is true by my, you know, limited research that I did do on bikes, that bikes nowadays are actually a little bit more fragile than they used to be. It's very possible that at the time of the Ben Ish Chai, bikes were actually a lot more solid based on the way that they were built. They actually might have broken out a lot less often. The chains that were kind of a rather newer invention. Parts of the bikes are more fragile now. So it could be that Ben Ish Chai's time, this wasn't as common a concern, but certainly nowadays it is a concern. We should be worried about bikes. And somebody's raised a question about roller skates, so let me bring up this question. Explicitly, the Shmir Shavos will end with this. The Shmir Shavos Gechata, probably one of the main sources for, like, bottom line, what is the halacha, quotes as follows. Source 15, Flak Ofen Shmitzige Galgalav Osin Negumi Mutsak. If you have a tricycle made of solid rubber, Ein Limnoam Yelav Yerkovala B'toch HaBayit Makom Sheish Iruv Chatzirot, kids are allowed to ride tricycles. Behuadin Legabe Galgalim Galgalim O Galgaliot. He thinks the same thing is true, that kids are allowed to ride a scooter and to ride skates. However, Vimish Ali and Pamon, if there's a bell on top of the bike, Tov Lastrim Rodion, we should take it off. There's a problem of making noise on Shabbos, separate issue. Aval, however, Ein Yerkov Alafonain Regilim, neither a child nor an adult should ever ride a bike on Shabbos. Gamim Galgle must see the Gumi Mutsaki, if made from rubber bike, rubber wheels, solid rubber. There's still a prohibition of riding a two-wheeled bike. Two-wheeled bikes are prohibited. Tricycles for kids are permitted. And he permits as well skates skates and scooters. Yes, scooters. He permits for kids. What about adults? Are adults permitted to use scooters or skates? Obviously, if they're electric, it'd be problematic. If they're not electric, Pirchov's Gecha doesn't actually address it. If you ask me, it'll really come down to this question of Uvdin Dechol. There's no issue of Malacha, but it really will come down to Uvdin Dechol. Different communities have different responses. Uvdin Dechol, it's one of these things we've discussed already today. There's no Malacha that might come out, but you certainly are, exercising, you're moving quickly. Most people don't commute in the scooter or skates, so you wouldn't have that issue, but you would have the Tircha issue of running and moving around quickly. So there's what to ask in terms of skates, and different communities respond to it differently. That would kind of be the bottom line for that. But I think what we've done today is that we've explored the topic of bicycles. We've seen that really the common custom in Source 14, the Kabbalah quotes this is the minhag already a while ago in Israel, and I think it's the minhag really worldwide, that really Orthodox Jews, we do not ride bikes on Shabbos, primarily based on two concerns. First, we have the concern of the breaking the bike, that the bike might break at some point, you have to fix the bike. And two, even if that's not a concern, there is a concern of Ovdin the whole, this problem of it not being Shabbos day, it's not what Orthodox Jews do on Shabbos. And we discussed, at length, is it really something that's Ovdin the whole, is it not? And we discussed, the details of Ovdin the whole. And I hope that we, kind of the takeaway is not only a discussion about bikes, but really this, toolbox, it gives us a sense of what Ovdin the whole is. If there is this debate, Ovdin the whole, is it a problem of, of not relaxing on Shabbos? Is that the issue of overexerting ourselves? Or is the issue only one of doing something which may lead to prohibited activity? That's the issue of Ovdin the whole. This debate is something we'll talk about in future classes. We'll keep talking about it, keep bringing it up. And I hope that this is kind of an intro to that topic. It kind of summarizes the transportation issue of subways and really frames bikes in general. Thank you very much. Let me know if anybody has any questions. Next week's topic, for those who are interested in knowing, will be about umbrellas, another mode of transportation that relates to cities and terrains. We'll talk about that, and there's lots to talk about. There's also been some newfound umbrellas been invented that we'll talk about briefly. That might be kosher for Shabbos. We'll talk about it. You can look it up, and we'll see you all next week. If you have any questions, feel free to stay on and ask away. Yeah, sure.